Hosanna, blessed be the Lord of my salvation. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the Lord, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, 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 blessed be the Lord, oh, blessed be the Lord, oh, my son. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. In fact, just sit while I'll give you a very small testimony. I would like to first apologize to God for taking long to give this testimony, because to me it was a very powerful testimony regarding a friend of mine. I'll ask Brother Paul just to put the picture. This lady, she once came to church with us. So a lot of old believers know her name is Marjana. She came to church. We were in the old church in a fur house. She came a few times, but those days were young believers, you know. I remember I came from the pulpit singing, and then she sat next to where I was sitting. So I was feeling ashamed to sit next to her, lest the believers will think wrong. And I went and I sat in another row, and I so disappointed her that she never ever came back again to church. So I learned my lesson then, to say, look, it's not what the believers think, but it's what God knows. You see, because later, what's so amazing about her testimony, you can see God ordained for us to have fellowship, to know each other. So she's now married to her husband. It's Polish, Stefan or something. She's married to that man. But one day she got contacting me on what we have in my old company, IBM. It's called Same Time. She sent me a message. And I felt like, it's a bit strange, you know. And she said, it's me, Marjana. I said, but this lady, she used to work in the internet cafe. She's now managing some company there for IBM in Poland. And we got talking, and she told me, now I'm married. Are you married? And I said, yes, I'm married. How's Brother Shepherd? I said, he's okay. I remember those days when we used to visit you people. And this, that. And, you know, she said to me, so I said, you're married now, but do you have any children? She said, no, I don't. She said, remember I was in Ireland, I told you my story. She told us once that she had something done to her womb and she couldn't have children. So I said, but would you like children? And she was saying, she was speaking. I said, no, but listen, would you like to have children? You see, that's the principle I like that the pastor was saying even today, not to take a long story too far, but it's that principle of receiving one another. Many a time you can be sitting in your house with believers in the house, and it will be so amazing to you that the Lord's presence will come so strongly in the house. And you can feel if the sisters maybe are in the kitchen and you sitting and talking, and you're talking really powerful things. And you say something and another sister in the kitchen will, she like dismiss it to say, no, it's not possible. And you think of Sister Hattie Wright. I'm not saying I'm the prophet, but you think of Sister Hattie Wright when she said the right thing. She just agreed on what the prophet said. And look what happened to her life, you know. And that's where you see with her, she was able to receive the black vessel from Zimbabwe. She was able to receive a help desk person, which sometimes our own brethren, we can't receive each other. And that's why we never go too far. So she said to me, so do you think I can receive a child? I said, yes, it's possible. Why not? God can give you a child. Showed her some scriptures. I told her, look, you read your Bible and go to church the way you go. You worship God the way you do. I will pray for you and you'll have the child. And I got into prayer. I got desperate. We're praying. And one day I felt in my heart when Brother Maxwell was preaching. I said, brothers, I have a request I would like to put. And it's not the first time we've done it. We have our cousin in Botswana. She was witched. Yeah, you understand? Bewitched. And she could never have children. It's a very true story. She could never have children. But we prayed the same year we prayed, a few years back. And not long after we prayed, 2-3 weeks later, she fell pregnant. But imagine, you see, now imagine if distance, long distance people can, who are not believers, can receive and get their children. I'm not putting a challenge, but I'm just talking a testimony. You see, us who are here, who are right here in the presence of the Shekinah glory, we can't receive each other, you see. So this lady, she took that and I told her. And then one day I told her, look, I'm not here anymore. I'm leaving. I left in July. No, in fact, before I left in July, she fell pregnant. She said, hey, I can't believe what happened. She said, I fell pregnant. Now imagine, she received the vessel, like the pastor was saying. She received the word and she fell pregnant. And then I started emailing her. Well, not emailing. I started Skyping her from home because I knew now it must be the time. And I couldn't get through. And then the next one, she sent me that picture. She said, ah, that's my child. That's Lucy. See, but you see how God, He can work through me. You see, because outside of church, I've noticed many people we speak outside of church, they receive me. But my own brethren won't receive me. But I don't mind. It's okay. But I'm just saying, if we receive one another, like the pastor was saying, you'll be so surprised the things that God can do in our midst. You see, we can really climb heights that are seriously high. But that's just my testimony. So if we can come and we'll sing that song, He who says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. If you say it from your heart and you don't doubt, you can have whatsoever you require. Hallelujah. And the first verse starts with Sister Hattie Wright. Amen. So come, please, can you come forward?
Says unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. You can say from your heart, don't doubt, you can have whatsoever thing you desire.
Hallelujah.
Sister Hattie Wright said the right thing. The Holy Spirit moved over her knee. Prophet's instruction from the unseen, just say what you want to speak is Lord indeed. Oh, He who says unto this mountain,
this mountain be removed and cast into the sea.
If you say from your heart, don't doubt, you'll have whatsoever thing you desire. Have what you say not what you have. Just say His words will materialize. Say to this mountain, it'll do as you say. Just speak His word, will have its way.
Have what you say,
have what you say. Say not what you have. He's going to provide all your needs. God will make your body obey your confession. Just realize His word, that's your possession. Why? Just speak His word. Stand still and see God's salvation.
He who says
unto this mountain,
oh, this mountain be removed and cast into the sea.
If you say from your heart, don't doubt, you can have whatsoever thing. The prophet that day in the back of the woods, he proved God's word and so it's true. And gone all day, had no gain from any side of voice came. Saying, He who says unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Say from your heart, don't doubt, you can have whatsoever thing you desire. Squirrels in existence, wood became substance, the Lord gave him real good measure. In God, there's hidden treasure, just you believe His love. have what you say. Say not what you have. In glory, He'll provide all your needs. God will make your body obey your confession. Just realize His word, that's your possession. Why? Just speak His word. Stand still and see God's salvation.
He who says
unto this mountain,
oh, this mountain be removed and cast into the sea.
If you say from your heart, no doubt, you have whatsoever thing you desire.
He who says
unto this mountain,
oh, this mountain be removed and cast into the sea.
If you say from your heart, no doubt, you can have whatsoever thing you desire.
Well, you can have.
You can have whatsoever thing you desire.
Just speak His word.
You can have whatsoever thing you desire.
We have Brother Andre has a song to sing for us. Amen. Brother Andre is a fine brother from Lithuania. Hallelujah. He's the brother who came and revived our prayer group. And we're inviting all you. We didn't want to tell him the truth that we hadn't been praying for a long time. Because the man who used to push me here was Brother Cheslin. He's a fine brother and he's doing very well in South Africa. He sends greetings always. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I just want to have opportunity. I just want to greet you all of in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And I just want to send greetings from our local church in Vilnius, in Lithuania. Our pastor is Brother Pavel Stepanenko. Many of you, I think, know him. And we feel a very nice atmosphere here. And it's so nice that we can find a part of same family, same brothers and sisters, who we can enjoy the time in this part, in this part of the earth. Before, I'm so glad that God allowed us to came here and get new with you before the eternity. So may God richly bless you. And also, we had a blessing time with your pastor, Brother Andrew, when he was visited us in December. He had three meetings in our church. We was really blessed by his such a wonderful gift, how he can find all news that's going to happen in the world, and he can manifest it in our day and find it connected with the Bible. And we can see, it's a last time.
Hallelujah.
And it's, may God be praised. And also I want to sing that song which was written in our church. This one sister was passing through big trials in her life, but in those trials God gave her this song, and I just want to sing about that. And also, if you will see the words, you can identify with that. May God be glorified. God bless you.
Trying to see light at the end of the tunnel of darkness, my broken heart cries in desperation. Then in my soul I receive consolation that God keeps it under control. He knows it all, molding me and forming, on the potter's wheels of Jesus Christ. Wondrous are your works, wondrous are your works, wondrous are your works, O Lord. How I want to soar with you, long to see you in plain view. Wondrous are your works, O Lord. You anointed me, delivered from blindness, so that I could see the expression of your loving kindness, your master plan, your redemption story. In my infirmities then I will glory, your grace is sufficient for me. Just mold me, Lord, use me by your Spirit. Hear the song that's flowing from my heart. Wondrous are your works, wondrous are your works, wondrous are your works, O Lord. How I want to soar with you, long to see you in plain view. Wondrous are your works, O Lord. We can sing together, the church. Oh, wondrous are your works, wondrous are your works, wondrous are your works, O Lord. How I want to soar with you, long to see you in plain view. Wondrous are your works, O Lord. Let's sing second verse now. You anointed me. You anointed me, delivered from blindness, so that I could see the expression of your loving kindness, your master plan, your redemption story. In my infirmities then I will glory, your grace is sufficient for me. Amen, Lord. Just mold me, Lord. Use me by your Spirit. Hear the song that's flowing from my heart. Wondrous are your works, Lord. Wondrous are your works. Wondrous are your works. Wondrous are your works, O Lord. How I want to soar with you, long to see you in plain view. Wondrous are your works, O Lord. Wondrous are your works, O Lord. Wondrous are your works, O Lord. Amen.
Wondrous are his works. Let's stand up. Let's sing that song. Because we have chosen the narrow path, the hard way. There's a huge portion of heaven that awaits us. Amen. Sing. Because you have chosen the narrow path, the hardest way.
There's a great portion of heaven is waiting for you because of what you decided. Oh, that was a prophecy, was a prophecy the angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce a great victory in the love divine. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. There's many trials, oh, and many battles against the enemy. Body's Holy Spirit within us, to perfect love. Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining.
Oh, to
hold in this fire.
Hear the chariots of our beloved one
coming to meet us.
Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. For the end of time, that divine love will live in me. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. Oh, it's my desire that divine love will live in me. That divine love will live in me.
Let's be seated a few minutes there, saints. Once again, saints, we do greet you in Jesus' name today. It's so wonderful to be in his house. Really appreciated the items, appreciated the music, the singing. Wonderful time.
Amen.
When you really think of beyond the river, when there'll be no more trials, no more struggles, it'll just be worship. Just be in his presence. Imagine seeing him face to face.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we see as through a glass. But friends, the reflection that we see, just how wonderful that it is. Even just the small reflection that we see, how it's transformed our lives. How wonderful it'll be when we're there. And friends, this is just a foretaste. May the Lord grant us a deeper and a deeper foretaste of love divine. Sister Ruda is asking for prayer for Dion. She's gone to Switzerland. should be coming back next Saturday, so we'll pray for that in a minute there. But I wanted to first introduce to you Brother Tichona Chininga, Brother Wilmore's brother. Some saints know him. He's a real wonderful brother. He's with Brother Chukosi across in Sheffield with the saints there. He's a minister there. We're really looking forward to the ministry of the word. He's here with his wife. We do greet Sister Chininga as well. It's good to be with them. Well, let's believe the Lord sends people with a purpose.
Amen.
No, because the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And the Lord knows just what we need at just the right time. And I really do appreciate our brother coming with his family. May the Lord grant them a good, wonderful blessing when they're here. And may he bless us with whatsoever the Lord has placed inside of his heart. Just a couple of announcements. Next Sunday we have Brother Tommy with us, Brother Tommy McKinstry. He's going to come to evangelize and pray for the sick. So if you've got your neighbors, got your friends, anybody that really needs deliverance, take advantage of next Sunday. Like I said last week, we could stand here and give a lot of real wonderful testimonies of the faithfulness of God to hear Brother Tom's prayer. He has a gift of faith. He can just take a hold of the word, and he holds on to the word. It can be very simple sometimes, the word, when it comes across. But the simplicity of the word has power.
Amen.
You know, so we really do ask you, bring the lost, bring your neighbors, your friends, your family, them that don't know Christ. We're focusing next Sunday on evangelism and on prayer for the sick. So we'd really like to ask you, take advantage of that situation. Whoever the Lord lays upon your heart, be in prayer about it during the week. If the Lord would lead you to invite somebody along, God has to be working on both sides. We do believe the Lord will do something next Sunday as well. So let's pray for that meeting. Wanted to say just one thing finally about the cleaning of the church. Just want to say to Brother Rennie there, it was a superb job that the brother did. I think to the sisters, it's a real good challenge. Mm. The brother did a perfect job.
Amen.
We've never seen the church like that. So, bro, we really do appreciate it. And the brothers really set a standard. So I'd really say to each and every person who's volunteered to clean the church, let's keep that standard.
Amen.
How wonderful it was to come in yesterday and just to see such a tremendous job. The brother even cleaned the entire corridor, because saints, we use the entire corridor. So let's clean the entire corridor as well. You know, so I really appreciated that. And I wanted just to say to the brother, God bless him for that.
Amen.
We do appreciate everyone who cleans the church. But yesterday there was something that really stuck out above the crowd. And whenever something's done excellently before the Lord, I think it's worthy of appreciation.
Right.
The prophet says, I'd rather give you a rose now than give you a bouquet after you're gone. So we'd really appreciate that which the brother has done. Just asking for prayer as well for this evening, starting at Brother Tommy. I said last week a series on the three woes. It's probably about three Sundays in a row. So I'm really asking for prayer. Sometimes we get tired in the body. You know what it's like in this life. But all we need is the grace of God. You know, like I said last time we were there, it was such a nice time. And I'm asking the saints just to lift up our hands in prayer that the Lord may help us in the meetings which we're going to be having there. Let's stand. Let's sing one more song. Then we put Dion before the Lord. And then we hand over to our brother. May the Lord grant Brother Tichona liberty this day, whatsoever the Lord has laid upon his heart.
Just a boat searched through heaven. I couldn't find one worthy to make the supreme,
the supreme sacrifice
that was,
oh, that was needed
to buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul could be lost. I'm so glad he was willing to drink that bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angel to take the mess from his hands that set me free. I did not
did not pay for the old rugged cross.
For the old rugged cross.
Had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be gone. Had it not been for a place for Mount Calvary. Had it not been for the old rugged cross.
For the old rugged cross.
Had it not been for a man called Jesus. Then forever my soul would be lost.
If you have a desire before the Lord, if you want to raise your hand. Father, we bring our petitions before you once again. Father, we know we can do everything too much, Amen. But how wonderful it is that we can never pray too much.
Amen.
So, Father, we want to look to you, Lord. I want to pray for Hallelujah. Dion upon this Hallelujah. Day. I just want to ask, Lord, that your grace would be upon her, that you'd protect her, that you'd watch over her. I just want to ask, Lord, that you'd speak to her even while she's there. I just pray that your mercy would be upon her. I just pray that you'd use her and lead her and guide her and bring her safely back, praying for her family as well. Hallelujah. Father, upon this day, we pray even for the Maxwell, Lord, Sister Angel, as they travel this week, how we do ask of you, Lord, that you'd grant them traveling mercies, Lord, that you would go before them in their business, that you'd bless our brother, Lord, even as he'd go in the spiritual affairs when he's there, Father. May your hand be upon him, may your blessing be upon them, right from the preparation of their journey, Father. You give them Godspeed as they go through the protocols of this life, Lord. Father, you open the way, Father, you be the oil in the machine, that, Father, everything would just go smoothly for them. You bless their journey, Lord. Bring them back safely in due season, we'd pray. Watch over my brother's family that would be here. How we do thank you, Lord, for all of these things.
Hallelujah.
Now bless the ministration of the word upon this day. Father, lay your hand upon my brother, Lord. Move him out the way. Father, put, Lord, your word inside of his mouth and speak unto our souls. And Father, every request that is before you, we bring it before you, Lord, committing it all into your hands in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that chorus again. We give over to the brother.
Had it not been for a place for Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross,
had it not been
Holy and eternal God. Amen. As cruel as Calvary was,
Amen.
Lord God Almighty, yet we see a beauty in it.
Amen.
You had every reason to run away, Lord.
Amen.
You had the power to create a brand new world with brand new people that could worship you.
Hallelujah.
For the scripture says you could raise stones to the children of Abraham. But Father, you saw this day.
Hallelujah.
And you saw us in our infirmity.
Glory.
And you loved us, Lord.
Amen.
Even in our weaknesses, even with our failures and our mistakes. But you saw this gathering this morning, and you endured the pain.
Amen.
That we could fellowship with you this morning.
Amen.
Father God, we are gathered here. The prophet teaches, Lord, and says, we have no ability to come to church, Lord. But you have bid us to come. And you have led us to be here this morning.
Amen.
For a reason, Lord. Father, there is nothing we can give one another. But Father God, what only you will allow us to do this morning. Father, here we stand before you with your children. Some have driven for miles, Lord God Almighty. They've come not to see a man. They've come not to hear from a different preacher. But Father, they come because you've bid them to come. And Lord, they know, Lord God Almighty, that one day with you is sweeter than before.
Amen.
They know, Lord, that you never let them go home empty-handed. That's my prayer this morning, Lord. Don't let them go home empty-handed. Father God Almighty, may you speak to their hearts. May they go home, may having made a step closer to their perfection. Father, I pray this morning, may you speak to them. May you move from heart to heart. May you address their needs. You know their desires, Lord. Father, you know the battles they are facing. And Father, you know what this church needs. Father, I pray this morning, may you bless each and every one of them. I ask, Lord, that you take me out of the way this morning. David says, I'd rather be a doormat in the house of the Lord. All he wanted was to be a part of the church. That would have been me this morning, Lord. Just a doormat where brothers can dust their feet to come into the church. But it falls my Lord this morning. And I pray, Lord God Almighty, may you bless your children.
Amen.
That they will give glory not to me, but to you, O God. For thy glory you will share with no man. I pray this morning, asking in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated, friends. I want to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is my joy to be here this morning.
Amen.
To see you brothers of precious like faith. I was coming for a vacation. I said I need to escape and come for a little break. I don't know how the wind got over here. Next time I'll just come. I'll just turn up. But like the pastor said, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
I'd like to greet you all and bring you special greetings from my pastor, Pastor Chikosi. He phoned me this morning and says, are you there? I said, I'm here. I said, I wish you were here and I was there. Because that's common ground. But he said, give them my love and tell them I love them and he appreciates you. And he spoke so well of you last time he came here. So I'm sure he's praying for me this morning. And I'm hoping you are praying for me. Because if I could run away, I would. But it behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness.
Amen.
I'd like to appreciate our precious brother, Andrew. We're all calling Brother Andrew. He's Pastor Murray now. Yeah. But I'd like to appreciate him and his labors for the kingdom and his family and our precious brother George.
Amen.
You know, this we've come a long way. But we don't feel no ways tight. Feels like we started yesterday. You know, I heard the pastor talking when we were in there, back home, when early Saturday morning. You know, when we go to the woods, we miss those days. But God had a purpose. You know, when hunger and famine struck in Babylon, and the people went off, ran away from the ways of the Lord, God looked for a man who could hold the fort.
Amen.
God looked for a people to condemn that generation.
Amen.
And couldn't find one. So he went for the byways and the jungles of Africa, to Lithuania and all that, and gathered a people right here in Dublin.
Amen.
So that on the day of judgment, they cannot say, we couldn't live a Christian life in Dublin. They said, hang on. There were people right there who lived a life worth of this gospel. Just continue holding on, friends. Just hold on. We've come this far. It's not very long where we're going. Oh, yes, brothers. We can see the finishing line. It's just around the horizon. You know, when a magnet is approaching a certain magnet, when you are within the magnetic field, you just start to feel a bit giddy. You're going to have to hold it. That's exactly how I feel. Because one of these days, brother, they will look for me and think, oh, he's gone missing. Yeah, I've gone missing. But where I've been, where I will be gone, you will never find me.
Amen.
I'll be happy forever after.
Amen.
Amen. I came with my wife and my four children. It is our joy to be with you this morning. Amen. And we'd like to appreciate all the officers and everyone for the work that you're doing here. Just hold on, brothers. The road may be hard. It was never said it will be easy. If you thought you wanted an easy life, not in Christianity. No. If you go to the army and they train you, and you pass out the parade, and everybody says, with your uniform on. The next time you go back to the barrack, the siren rings. Soldiers, we are off to Afghanistan. It's too late to say, I didn't volunteer. I'm not a volunteer. Say, the moment you came to enroll, you volunteered. And the moment you said, I give my life to Jesus, you volunteered not to a life of ease, but to a life of battle. Battling not with your brother, not with your sister, but with one common enemy. The one we fight in England, the same old devil you fight around here. But we are not ignorant of his devices. May the good Lord richly bless you. The pastor asked me to greet you, so I have greeted you. And we can close with a word of prayer. I was asked to greet the saints. I don't know what I could say. I would love to come and sit down there. That's what I was hoping. We were so blessed when Brother Andrew came down. So I was hoping I would come and sneak in and listen to him. But all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. How many of you love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
I'm not more of a preacher, you know. I'm just a spare wheel to Pastor Chikosi. When he's not there, I just, you know, a spare wheel. You run for 2 days, you put back in the boot. For 6 months, you run for 3 days, put in the boot. But our life, I'm not like Brother Andrew, though. He's got a fantastic ministry. I don't know how he does it. But it's so wonderful. When you hear him preach, it's just wonderful.
Amen.
But my pastor is an evangelist. So it's very difficult to have a teacher sitting under evangelist. If you spend your time with a runner, you kind of become a runner, you know what I mean.
Amen.
So I'm not going to be Brother Andrew this morning. Allow me to be myself.
Amen.
Amen. Just allow me to be myself. I may not be standing here more often. I may be preaching from the back.
Amen.
But as long as we hear the word this morning, amen. May the good Lord richly bless you as we fellowship around his word. Let's rise up to our feet this morning and turn our Bibles to the book of Revelation. Is that right? Revelation chapter 3, reading from verse 7. Revelation chapter 3, is that, oh, I'm pressing the wrong one, I think. Right, Revelation chapter 3, reading from verse 7. Just two portions of the scripture. My Bible says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Shall we bow our heads again? Father, we thank you for the scriptures that bring life to us. Lord God Almighty, you were speaking to the church in Philadelphia, but Father, these scriptures, they speak to us this morning.
Amen.
Because you said, I have said before you, and I saw my name on that this morning.
Amen.
Lord, I pray, may you speak to your children as we fellowship around your word. Lord, may you put me aside and address their need.
Amen.
May you give us utterance this morning. May your spirit have liberty this morning. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, friends. The pastor has been preaching on this one verse, just this one, just one, since the beginning of the year. We've just been on this one verse and just one quotation. One paragraph of a quotation and one paragraph and these two verses. So that's all I have. Just these two verses and one quotation. And then we'll go home. But between then, we're going to give a devil the good kicking.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
That's why we come to church. Not to brush the devil's back, no. We come to create a zone around you and the church that the devil will have no access to.
Amen.
That's what I believe this morning.
Amen.
That by God's grace, when you leave this church, the devil will be so afraid of you. Maybe he might start touching you by the end of the week. At least we have some few days in between. Amen.
Amen.
But this morning, by God's grace, I'm preaching on an open door. Generation to generation. An open door. A door that is opened. If we all come here this morning and that door was open. It's never opened. Do you open that door? No. But if we open this door and properly open, I will struggle to preach here. But everybody will be anxious. What's beyond that door? Why is that door open? Until we give everyone a chance to go and pick, even if there is nothing, very few people will be settled here. They want to know what is beyond that door. And the scripture says, I have set before you an open door. That's what my Bible says.
Amen.
I have set before you an open door. But here's the other side of the story. If that door is open, you can sit there, wonder, imagine, worry, rejoice, and think about everything about that door. Right? But as long as you're sitting in that chair, it will be wonder, imagination, and everything. But the day you decide, the moment you decide to stand up from your chair and walk towards that door, something will begin to happen.
Amen.
So it's one thing to have an open door, but it's another thing to enter in. And this morning I'm calling you, my brothers and sisters. There is an open door. But we need to enter in and find out what's beyond the open door. The Bible says, I have set before you an open door. But before he said that, he says, I am he that openeth and no man can shut. I am he that shutteth and no man can open. So if God opens a door, no man can shut it. And if God shuts a door, no man can open it. And it's from generation to generation. But Branham says, anything that happens in any church age, I'll show you the quotation later. If something happens in the first church age, it runs throughout all church ages. Do you agree? So if something happened in one church age, it must happen in the next and the next and the next until the last church age. Amen. So if something happened in the days of Noah, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am he that was, that is, and is to come. And if God ever healed somebody one day, oh, hallelujah. If God ever did something one day,
You know, if I was a sister sitting in this church today without a child, if I'd seen that picture there, I will be shouting that nobody will close my mouth here. Because there is evidence that there is an open door when a door was shut. But here we are, a door is opened. Hallelujah. If you were sick one day and God healed you, the next time you get sick, you start to worry and to question your faith. No. Just flick back the pages of your life and said, where was I? God, you took me there, and here I am today. I may not be exactly what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. I am doing the best I can in Dublin. The scripture said, where is that scripture? I know thy works. And behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. God knows you've got a little strength. But he loved you with your little strength. And he said, with your little strength, you have not denied my name here in Dublin. And for that reason, I set before you an open door. Can I close?
No. Continue, please.
It's an open door. But you've got to get up. You've got to dust yourself. You've got to pick up your courage and start making steps towards your open door. You've got to wake up and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for dying for a sinner like me. This open door I'm talking about, I'm not just talking about headache. No, he didn't come all the way from Calvary to die for a headache. No, sir. He came all the way from Calvary to die for a sinner like me, so that he could take me with him. And this morning, it's an open door for your salvation. It's an open door for victory over sin. An open door for a life worthy of this gospel. An open door for a life beyond self-condemnation. It's an open door. Your victory is the open door. How can I sustain it? That's not your problem. No. If you're invited to Brother George's house and you approach and he knows you're coming, right? And as you approach there, the curtains are closed. And the door is locked. And you can see a key from inside. And you knock. And no one opens. Already you're starting to see like what Brother George was saying. He's a wonderful brother. He's a wonderful brother. But already you're thinking, what's wrong? He knows I'm coming. How come? He's closed the curtains. He's locked the door. But I'm coming. It's 12:30. I told him I'll be there at 12:30. Already your mouth starts spilling out of control. Right? But if you approach Brother George's house, 12:27, the curtains are opened. And the door is open. Before you are in there, you are already feeling welcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Before you get there, you are saying, Brother George is expecting me to come in. And God is saying, I have set before you, Dublin, an open door. Amen. He's expecting you to walk in. He's expecting you to come in with your trials, with your problems, with your challenges, and go in beyond the door. Because beyond the open door is your victory. Beyond the open door lies your healing. Beyond the open door is victory over sin.
But it's beyond the open door. So it takes a walk of faith to approach the door. Because he opened the door and he said, whosoever will, let him come unto me. He said, whosoever will. Anyone who wants to come. And you know, God is just.
That's right.
So just. That if he doesn't destroy Dublin, you have to rise Sodom and Gomorrah. That's how just God is. But see, we read scriptures in the negative. We don't read it the other way. If God is so just that he feels obligated to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah, how much more for somebody who is doing the best they can? How much more for you who's doing the best you can to live a life worth of this gospel? Amen. How much will this just God be prepared to go all the way to accommodate your needs? Like I said, Christianity is not a flowery bed of ease. But we've come thinking, I'm entitled. It's my right. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So it was for Job.
That's right.
He had a right, but there was a conference about you, about your life. But the only problem is you were not invited.
Amen.
And conference happened about your life, my sister. But you were not invited. And it was a long debate. The deacons are in the conference. They were talking about you. And a statement was issued at the end of the conference. Go! Do whatever you want with him. Just don't take his life. What makes you think it was only for Job?
Your life is under discussion. The devil watches you every day. He's trying to get rid of every opportunity he has to catch you.
He will. But what do? We try to be as close to the devil as possible. Very close, no. We want to be as far away from the devil so that it takes a long way for him to go. So he gets fed up easily. The devil gets fed up very easily. Quick frustration is off. So if you stay close to him, he catches you quickly. But if you stay so far away, you won't. I've said before you an open door. No man opens. If I close, no one can open. If I shut, no one can open. It happened one time in the days of Noah. God gave Noah an open door. And that door was extended not only to human beings, but to animals. It's going to rain. The rain is coming. But everything was against what Noah was preaching. But a door was set before Noah. And Noah grasped it. And preached it for years and years. And said, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. It will rain. One of these days, it's raining in England. Tomorrow, it's raining. It's going to rain. But they bluffed and laughed at him. And even Noah himself started to question himself. Is this really true? 50 years, Brother Branham is gone. Really? Brothers, it's going to rain, brothers.
Amen.
The rain is coming.
Amen.
But when they all gave up on Noah, and Noah went in.
With who? And they went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And when Noah walked in, he didn't realize from the blueprint of the ark. He didn't realize that the lock was from the outside. You cannot defend this message. This message will fight for itself. Amen. What do we do? Hang on, brothers. Believe the word and keep going. It's an open door. Beyond the lock was from outside. Noah didn't realize. Only when he walked in, he realized. What's happened? And the master himself came down. And he shut the door. May God shut you in. May God shut you in. Away from your challenge. Away from the troubles of the world. Away from your condemnation. And your self-condemnation. May God shut you in.
Amen.
Because when God shut Noah in, 7 days.
Amen.
If you were Noah, what would have you been thinking? The first day, no rain. The second day, no rain. Brother Branham prayed for a lot of people and said, go home and get well. Go home and get well, brother. Don't despise yourself if you failed today. Just keep going, my brother. After 7 days, I'm giving somebody 7 days notice here today. I'm giving you 7 days notice that disease will go. That problem of yours will leave. 7 days, Noah was waiting. On the seventh day, the rain came down. So they all rejoiced. But they forgot. How are we going to come out? The door was shut from outside. And when everybody banged and banged and banged, they couldn't open it. Why? Because God, he just didn't close the door. It was not found from outside. Because those guys came knocking, asking no. Just imagine. Noah's uncle. When God does something, he does it and it's for you. Hallelujah. It's a personal revelation. And that's what God wants, is a relationship with you. And an open relationship within you and God. Because Noah would have opened for his uncle. That's why God shut him in. And when he shut him in, he removed the lock from outside. So it was a blank something. Because those guys were knocking, asking Noah to open. And Noah was saying, it's easy for you if you open from outside. Hallelujah. So Noah, they say, but the lock is outside. Brother Teach, watch this. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot back into the house and shut to the door. When they tried to open Lot's door, they couldn't find it. God had blocked it. When God blocks, no man can open. But when he opens, no man can shut. So the door is opened to you. Amen. Let's move on. In the book of Acts, the Bible says, and when they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. They rehearsed. What's happening, Brother George? I spoke to this woman. And this was what happened. And she went to Poland. And this happened. And what did they say? God had done with them. And how he had opened the door. I'm coming home. God opened the door. But if a door gets opened and you miss it, you will remain in the very same condition you are. Have you ever wondered? People would come from different walks of life to Brother Branham's meetings. To Brother Branham's meetings. Most of them were unbelievers. By the way, hallelujah.
Amen.
Unbelievers. one from Michigan, another one from Detroit. They all descend. And prayer cards are mixed. And they pick prayer cards. And the Spirit of God would come. Right? And then suddenly starts picking. That brother who's got this condition. And he says, the person next to you, the person next to you, that person next to you, that person. How did that happen? God organizing unbelievers. Unbelievers. Most of the people that Brother Branham prayed were unbelievers. But what was happening? God was opening a door for you and for me. And when that door was opened, he never shut it. Why would the angel say, store the food? Brother Branham would preach. And you would wonder, when you read some of these sermons or listen to them, you think, wow. But he was dead silent when he was preaching. Those guys would say, what is this guy saying? What? You ask some of their questions, you think, were they listening or something? Why? What was happening? God was opening a door for you and for me. Those people were just being used. God was just opening a door. And when God opens a door, no man can shut it. Do we agree? So whatever happened in all those meetings must happen today. Because that door remains open today. Bombay, India was an opening of a door. Durban, South Africa was an opening of a door. It was preparation for you and me when we finally come and grasp this message. Come on, brothers. Come on, sisters. A woman came to the church a few days. Went her way. Ended up in Poland. Thousands of miles away. But then a word was spoken. The same word that you are hearing here every sermon. Every service day. The same word is spoken. In between there you listening to the tape. That very same word gave that woman a child. And you are still lacking. Take an initiative. The door remains open. And the people come from the world. Come to church one day. I've come. What is want? I want to be healed. The guy has never been baptized. Smoking last night. You know, got in an accident, running away from the man's wife. Broken legs. He's now in a wheelchair. He's never paid tithe. He's never cleaned the church. Everything. Comes in with a wheelchair there. The word gets preached here. Do you want to be healed? The guy doesn't think twice or three times. How is going to work? How is going to happen? A door is open before him. And he says, what? Child? That's all I want. And before you know, picture's here. A door was opened. And she walked through the door. A door gets opened every tape you listen to. Every spoken word you read. A door is being opened. And you have to receive it. And make use of it. Brother Branham says, Noah wasn't working a miracle. No. Noah wasn't working a miracle. He had no clue how these things is going to work. Noah just told, go, preach. It's going to rain. When, my Lord? I don't know. Just go and preach. Just imagine. No, okay. It's going to rain. When is the service? I'd like to greet you, my brothers. The Lord spoke to me in a mighty way last night. And I was thinking about the power of rain. Wonderful, brother Noah. Next service. The mightiness of God's reign. Oh, God bless you, Brother Andrew. We were sure blessed. Sunday, the rain and the unbelief. I'm thinking, what's happening with the men of God? 1 year? 2 years? It's all about rain. Ah, they said, Brother Andrew, we will be back. At some point, we are visiting our brothers just to see what they're saying. They got fed up.
That's
But Noah didn't. Questions and answers. Ah, brother Noah said, ah, we have that next year. Questions and answers, because he didn't have the answers. All he was given was an open door. He didn't know how it's going to work. He wondered, how is this thing going to work? Where are we going? But that was not Noah's problem. When God gives you an instruction, it's not about how it's going to work. That's why we're so underprivileged these days. Child. How is that going to happen? Healing. But. No. Brother Brown will just come and preach.
Amen.
To unbelievers.
Amen.
Some who will be told, you are living with a man's wife. Go make it right, you get well. And they went and did, and it worked.
Amen.
Unbelievers.
Amen.
Those guys had no strength at all.
Amen.
But you, with your little strength, God is opening a door. And he has set it before you. And he's saying, whosoever will this afternoon, let him come unto me. Doors are being opened. They are already opened. But rise up, bride, and take initiative. Claim your God-given rights. We want to know how it's going to work, brother. Yeah, once we figure it out, we can do that. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. But here we go. A door gets opened, adversaries are on the way. You live a Christian life. You. Brother, the scripture says, when he shall appear, I shall be like him. For now I do the best I can. If I become like him a second before he appears, that's good enough. But for now, just keep persevering, brother. Just keep going and doing the best you can. When he shall, as long as he hasn't appeared, just keep going. Because we want to be perfect. Perfect. There's only one who is perfect.
Amen.
There's only one who is perfect.
Amen.
And nowadays, you know, the greatest challenge we have in church is not that brother condemning that one. No. Self-condemnation.
Amen.
Self-condemnation. Amen. I can't do this. I'm not worthy. Well, yeah, you can't do it. That's why Christ died for you.
Amen.
Because you cannot do it. So he decided to endure the pain. So that in times of need, he will bail you out.
Amen.
So when a door is opened, many, not just one, many adversaries. There are too many. If you count every day, that guy just cuts you. You're driving. He just comes. That one just says something. But you need to be connected.
Amen.
You need to be connected.
Amen.
When you are connected, you don't notice those things.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus, bear thy cross. The brother is going to work. And oh, the world go. But we want to challenge the world.
Amen.
We are no match to the devil, by the way. But God has opened a door of victory.
That's right.
And victory is through him. All we need to aspire, all we need to fight is to be in him. To be always under the blood. Always linked with the master. That communication line, constant communication with the master. Correct me, pastor, if I'm wrong. If I say wrong, the pastor will tell you when I'm gone. That's what Brother Teach says, you know. Prayer, right? You don't have to be with your eyes closed. And then you wait for an opportunity to close your eyes and pray.
Amen.
Whilst you are working on your computer, in communication with the master. Blessed is the man whom he meditates upon him day and night.
Amen.
Doesn't mean David was praying day and night. No. He was a king, by the way. He had so much to do more than you do. But he wrote 150 songs. Constant communication. Lord, help me out. You know, constant. You know, constant. What's up? How do you, just mediating day and night. It's an open door. God just wants to communicate with you.
That's right.
That's all he wants. He wants to fellowship with you. You know, Brother Branham, when he was in the mountains, and he says, Lord, will I take a walk with you? And he could hear the footsteps next to him. Ha! Brothers, that's all God wants. He would come in the cool of the evening to communicate with Adam. All he wants is constant fellowship with you. Not to leave him at home when you leave in the morning. Come back at night. How are you, Lord? It's been a long day. I'm tired. But remember, with your little strength, do the best you can with your little strength. Kneel down with your little strength. Pray whatever you, with your little strength. God will keep you going. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, brother, what Brother Branham says. There is in the message, Philadelphia churches, the book, not the church age book, but this in 1960. There is one of the striking things, though. Keep bearing on your mind that these church ages start. And whatever is in that one church age goes all the way down through every church age. And each one of those of the church ages leap over one another. If you study the history close with the book, you find out it's like leaps like this, laying over each other. And one church age is going out, and the angel that comes in between there is to call back that church to the face that it once lost. It's always been that. So what happened in the days of Paul leapt over into Irenaeus. It leapt over into Martin. Leapt over into Columba. Left. Oh, how much more? We are having a seven course meal. Seven course meal.
Amen.
Those guys after Paul, Irenaeus, they could only look back to what happened in Paul's age. So it was a two course meal. The next age was a three course meal. Fourth age was a four course meal. If you are offered the chance of a two course meal and a seven course meal, I don't need to ask where you are going. This message, seven course meal.
Amen.
An open door. Seven course meal. Everything you need is right before you.
Amen.
But you are sitting admiring the door. Wow, Brother Branham. What a prayer line that was. Ooh, how beautiful. Hey, that sister had faith. Brother, that was a door opening. It was just a door opening. So that when it reaches your ears, you jump up. God had to make sure I was given an African name. Brother, if I was James, every time James get mentioned, I will be jumping. Even if I don't have the problem, just say, Brother Branham, I knew I was going to have this problem somewhere in the future. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Brothers, this message is an open door. God loved you so much. So much. You know what? In the book, Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. Anybody can shout it in their sleep. But in that scripture, right? There's three people spoken of. Three. Three people. So if we mention people, it comes, these things have got hierarchy. Hierarchy. You can't come to a meeting, you can't come to England, and then you're addressing the meeting and say, I want to thank Ed Miliband. Oh, no, no, that's wrong. You start with David Cameron. He is the prime minister. Then you move down the rank, isn't it? Right? So, Malachi 4. Behold, I, amen, I, the Lord, the top of the rank, the Alpha and the Omega, the best of the best. He that shutteth and no man openeth. He that closeth and no man can open. I, the master of all masters. I, the Lord, who can wipe off the world in a day. I will send what?
Hallelujah.
You.
Amen.
You. So if you thought Brother Branham was, he was very important. But before he got mentioned, you were already mentioned. God sent William Branham because he cared so much about your welfare, about your future, about your eternal destination, that he had to mention you before he mentioned William Branham. So that William Branham could recognize the importance of his mission. Because if you take the you out of that mission, Brother Branham, out of that scripture, Brother Branham loses his mission. Behold, I send you, Elijah the prophet. So all the works of Elijah was for you. Everything that Elijah did was to catch you for the master. Eliezer was sent with Abraham with one mission. Go get a bride for my son. Everything that... When Eliezer saw Rebecca. When Eliezer... before he ended anything, he kneeled down and prayed. What was Eliezer's prayer? He didn't mention to say, I thank you, the God of Isaac. Isaac knew nothing about it. He just said, yeah, Eliezer, whatever happens, you know. If it doesn't happen, I'll find one around here. But he said, I thank you, the Lord God of Abraham, my son. Hallelujah! When William Branham said, I call you bright, he knelt down and said, I thank you, Lord. Mission accomplished.
Amen.
He had found you.
Amen.
Brothers, I'm just giving you an open door.
Amen.
Everything that happened in Brother Branham's life, everything, the handing, this, it was an open door.
Amen.
To excite you.
Amen.
And me to do something. Those guys were used by the Lord to pay for the campaigns. Brother Branham, we want to make sure this message, you know, they didn't believe it. Doesn't get to waste. So we'll sponsor the meetings. We'll put it on tapes for you. Nowadays, on your walk to work or on your laptop, the prophet is right there. Good evening, friends.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You're sitting on the train to school. Good evening, friends.
Amen.
So glad to be here with you.
Amen.
It's a snowy day, but you know what? God has spoken to me. This
Amen.
And this and this. You are living in another world.
Hallelujah.
But sitting in a train. Sitting in a train. The revival that happened in Babylon was not for the Babylonians. It was for the children of Israel who had gone to Babylon. So the revival, you wonder why God has got that you here. Even you are in Babylon. But the revival is not for the Babylonians. For the children of God who has been sent to Babylon. So that could become a witness to condemn the Babylonians. everything. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet.
Amen.
So when you witness next time, say, God send me Elijah the prophet.
Amen.
Because you are right there in Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. Listen. Watch Noah. Now not in the message and certain sound. Brother Branham says, now notice all this thing that they did and the powers that they had. And you could imagine it never rained, nothing in the skies to make it rain. How in the world did that man ever get that message off? He didn't. He didn't, Brother Branham says. Noah didn't get the message off. That was it. But Noah stood in the door of the ark and warned the people of the oncoming destructions.
Hallelujah.
That was Noah's message. If you don't come to build the ark, you will be destroyed.
Amen.
So is a gospel preacher today. That's born again today, standing in the door. Christ Jesus, enshrouded around the by the Holy Ghost, warning the people of a coming destruction. Sure, as it was in the days of Noah, he was. Here we are standing in this day.
Amen.
Noah was building an ark. He was not only working a miracle, but he was preparing for a miracle.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Make preparation for your healing. Make preparation for what you are asking for. It's not just going to happen. Make preparation. Make some preparation. When that axe fell in the water, what happened? Elisha took a stick. And when they went, and it came up. Make some preparation. You want a child, you go buy a car. No, you go buy some nappies. Say, so, Lord, I thank you for this little child. You want a job, you go buy the suit. You go buy a suit, say, Lord, I thank you for my new job. You want a house? Go buy some curtains. Lord, these are the curtains that I want in my new house. Ah, brother, teach. That's madness. Yeah, Christianity is madness. Full stop. We are very close. Very, very close. Very, very close. Noah preached all those years. What do you think? Ah, this guy has gone crazy. Yeah, he was going crazy for Jesus. I don't mind going crazy for Jesus.
Amen.
Not for a football team.
Amen.
No, sir. I'll go mad for Jesus.
Amen.
He was preparing for a miracle. The church today is not only having miracles, but it's preparing for a miracle. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rapture of the church to be taken. Give me a church ready, visualize to see signs. And to see the omnipotent God, the great power of God moving amongst the people. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Right, we're coming to our message. We won't be long, we'll be close. I was laying down a background.
Amen.
Now I'm going to preach.
Amen.
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 Shall I preach?
Amen.
But Abraham says in the message, serpent seed. So we realize there was open doors from Genesis all throughout these ages. From Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columb, it was open doors. But strange enough, the prophet mentions it in the Philadelphian church age. Philadelphian church age. Brother Branham, there is a Laodicea. That prophet never said a word amiss. He never said one word amiss.
That's right.
Eliezer was given special instructions.
Amen.
And when he did it, Rebecca responded like that.
That's right.
So don't try to correct him.
Amen.
Or try to interpret something new. Everything was interpreted.
Amen.
If there was something to be interpreted, he would be here.
Amen.
When he finished, he said, till we meet.
Amen.
In the teaching this morning, one of these church ages on up, Thessalonica church, the 1500 years of dark ages, there was not one time but what he said, you still have my name. And on this other side, they wasn't in Christ anymore. That come out in a denominational name. Catholic, Luther, Wesley, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, on down. But just before the closing of the age, he said, I have set before you an open door. Philadelphia, wasn't it? But Brother Branham says, but that's the age that we believe we are in right now.
Amen.
The open door age.
Amen.
Between the last going out of the Laodicean Amen. Church. Hold, hold in the message seal of God. Hold. Why? Why hold? Watch. There were some Gentiles yet between the age of Wesley and the age of Pentecost had to come in. But before Pentecost went into the Laodicean age, there was an open door set before the church. Open door. Whosoever will, let him come and drink from the mountain of waters and freely. Open door set. Oh my. And he said, hold it. Why? So Laodicea, Philadelphia is here. We are about to go into Laodicea. But before they went into Laodicea, there was an open door.
Amen.
And those that went through the open door didn't make it to Laodicea. But the teacher, we are in Laodicea. I'm not. I'm not in Laodicea. Laodicea, you read Laodicea? What happened in Laodicea? There is nothing good. But the bride escaped. This message is an open door. That's why God slotted it in. When we responded to it, the Pentecostals and the Methodists went through. They said, we organized. And they went into Laodicea. And here they are today. But where did we go? Slicked through an open door. And there's only one way out. If a fire alarm rings here, if a fire alarm goes, you don't go through a not a fire exit. You ignore the rest of the exits. You look for the fire exit. And when the bells rang, the flashing red lights, what happened? The Methodists and them took the stairs. We went through the fire exit, the message of our day.
Amen.
And we were fire protected. And they are now burning. But that is by the heaven miracles. Miracles? I'd rather go to heaven limping, brother.
Amen.
With not one miracle.
Amen.
As long as I'm in connection with the master.
Amen.
Miracles. It's a big talk of the day. So what? New miracles. New. Brother Branham did that every day.
Amen.
Every tape, every prayer line. These guys that kick people like football, let them kick people like football. Don't worry about them.
Amen.
We are not worried about the miracles of this.
Amen.
I want a greater miracle.
Amen.
The rapture of my soul.
Amen.
That's what I'm worried about. This miracle of headache and that, you are healed today, tomorrow you are back in the prayer line. But brother, when he died for me, the greatest miracle, when I received the Holy Ghost, sealed away. That's the miracle you should be getting prepared for.
Amen.
Preparing for a miracle, not the healing of your head. Why? Because you get your headache healed, you still go back a sinner. But the beauty of this greater miracle, you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the headache goes away.
Amen.
So don't worry about the headache.
Amen.
Don't worry about every other things. Worry about things that matter.
Amen.
Your relationship with Christ. That's what matters. That's what the open door was about. Brother, if it was all about miracles, William Branham would have heard those campaigns until the day he died. But when the things that mattered were started to be said, 63, 64, what happened, Pastor? They ran away from him. Demas had forsaken me. But that was when he was giving the meat. That's when he was telling the things that matters. But they said, away with him. We want miracles. So they still do today.
That's right.
So up today, they are still after miracle in Eve and the daughter's generation. Seeketh after a sign. There'll be no more sign by the sign of William Branham.
Amen.
No more sign by the sign of William Branham. Hilly Billy preacher from Kentucky. Good evening, friends. You know, I didn't go to school. But when he started talking about physics or chemistry, brother, professors had to listen. You wonder, where is he getting it? Brother! But that man, every word he said, the Holy Ghost was watching. The Holy Ghost was watching. God tell me that I didn't like that. Meaning everything that happened in his life, the Holy Ghost was watching. Why? Because he had a very special, important mission.
Hallelujah.
To get a bride.
Amen.
For the Christ.
Amen.
Blessed be the name.
Amen.
So we were slotted in this open door. Slotted in. And the message, Revelation chapter 4, said there's only one way. Not two. One way. Only one way. There's only one way that goes into the body of Christ. There's only one door to the church of the living God. And Jesus is that door. I give you an open door. And Jesus is that open door. Whosoever will, let him come. He says he's more willing to give you the Holy Ghost more than you are willing to have it. He's more willing to walk with you more than you are willing. He wants you healed more than you are willing to get healed yourself.
Ah,
what manner of man is this? In all your faults and in all your weakness, he still cared for you. Brother Teach, Lot was backslidden. Lot. Brother Lot was backslidden. Right in Sodom, having a wonderful time. He was about to be appointed mayor with an inflated salary. But God's grace came down looking for Lot right in Sodom. And when those Sodomites wanted to stop, God shut them. But a door was opened to Noah. Jesus is that door. I am the door. I am the way. The road that leads to the door. I am the door to the sheepfold. He said this to this church age. I've set before you an open door. He said that to the Methodist church age. They turned away from it. Went into organization. But I've set before you an open door. And after they had received sanctification, he said, I'll put the open door, which is the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit we are all what? Baptized into one body, which is Christ. He said that message before the Methodist church. And they turned aside from it. I told you, he's a just God.
That's right.
God gave all this. He said, God, you know, God, you know what the watchtower says? How can God destroy the world? He's so merciful. God is merciful, but he gives you a chance.
Amen.
He gives you a chance.
Amen.
And brother, don't put for tomorrow what you can do today.
Amen.
Don't wait for the next service.
Amen.
Hey, but the pastor was saying, confess your faults one to other. These days, brother Jude. These days.
Hallelujah.
Oh, brother. You know, pray for me, brother. Things are a bit, you know. Things are a bit, yeah, all over the place. Just pray for me. Those days, you wouldn't say that, brother Jude. Brother Andrew, you repent for wearing a jean trousers. Forgive me, brothers. I put a jean trousers on. But that was just a zeal. But that was the importance of the message. The lateness of the hour. A brother would come and say, brothers, I'm really sorry. What's happened, brother? What happened, brother? The brother is confessing. Not that he's done wrong. But there was no bus. The only bus that was there had an advert for Chibuku, for beer. So he had to come in that bus. So when he gets home, you know, it says Foster's or something. Said, brothers, I'm sorry I came with this Foster's bus because that's the only one. the brothers will still get to him. Brother, you need prayer. But that was the importance of the message. That was what we felt. And as time lingers on, people are becoming comfortable in sin. They come to church, they go home with their problem. Brothers, I challenged the church back home one day, the beginning of the year. We listened to a message called Shalom. Brother Branham preached, I think, 19th of December, January. He said, what happened in Tucson that day? There was an announcement that the man of God was coming. Right? Brother Branham is coming to town. Like the pastor said, our brother will be here next week. An announcement. Brother Branham was coming to town. Just imagine, Durban, South Africa, Bombay, India. The same advert went out. And people came in buses and lorries. And a hilly-billy preacher from Kentucky preached the sermon. Right? To unbelievers. And showed them an open door. And lorries had to come and take crutches and wheelchairs back home. And we come and sit and listen to the same message. And go home with our sin. We go home the same. But that voice had never lost its power.
Amen.
It's not the man, it's the anointing.
Amen.
So if we come here and play the same tape,
amen.
If a man is sitting in a wheelchair, he must rise up.
Amen.
Those days must remain in church.
Amen.
We need to get back to those days, Brother Andrew.
Amen.
This message has not lost its power.
Amen.
Wine gets better with age. We know much more better now. We know better. We should be doing much more.
Hallelujah.
We should be walking through that door with your sin. The deacon will pick you up. Brother, can we have a word? Yes, brother, you need to confess before you come in. But why should we do that? You should be so afraid with the fear of God in you. To come to church with such a situation. Say, you phone the deacons, brothers, can I see you outside before I get in church? It's not a weakness. That's where your victory lies. But we run away from it. But that's exactly where the answer to your problem is. The pastor said, I was listening. There is something lingering. That's something that you are lingering on. That's where the answer to your victory lies. The moment you let it out, the moment you let it out, watch, a door opens from heaven. Showers of blessings. Everything that God brings your way is only to perfect you. God brings something to perfect you. Ah, brother, yeah, he lets you go down there so that you can rise up. When you rise up from there, you are a better warrior. Than the when you fall.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, I'm going to have to wind this up. But I'm halfway through my slide.
Amen.
How do you get into Christ? By one spirit, which is Christ's spirit. We have entered in. Not by handshaking. Not by sprinkling. But by one Holy Ghost baptism.
Hallelujah.
We are all baptized into one body. And mad partakers of that body. One Holy Ghost baptism into that door.
Hallelujah.
Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and
hallelujah.
Everyone
Amen.
That came before Christ. Thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Brothers, if this is the only fire exit out of this place, if the fire alarm rings, we have pandemonium here. Everyone trying to get out of there. Isn't it? Ha! isn't it? It's any building, anywhere you go, even on the plane, you don't go through, there is designated fire exit. The fire is coming, brothers. There's one designated fire exit. The fire is coming. There's only one designated fire exit. That's Jesus Christ. Everywhere else will burn. Only Jesus. In Jesus, you'll be fireproofed.
Amen.
Don't take another way, another door. No. Only in Christ, you'll be fireproofed.
Amen.
If it's the only way out,
amen,
why would you look for another way? Or rather, not look for another way. Okay, fine, fine, fine. You're not looking for another way. Why do you linger when the fire is behind you?
Amen.
This is the way out. Run for your life.
Amen.
Ah, we'll sort it next week. Don't let it linger another day.
That's right.
No, the Bible only said, don't let the sun go down in your anger. Yeah, fine, that's good. Don't let the sun go down in your sin.
Amen.
Yeah, take it higher.
Amen.
Nice and easy. Ah, you know. Ah, that way, I will die with it. Yeah, you will die with your and go to hell. You know, when you've got if I have an ought or something against Brother George, right? You might not know, or you may know, or exactly how I feel about what he did to me. It doesn't defile George. The longer I keep it in my heart, it doesn't defile Brother George. It defiles me. Until, and the pastor said, if you come to the altar and feel you have an ought, not that you have done something, or you feel a brother has done something against you, even if you are right, fine, yes, I've done something against you, but you may have did it unknowingly. But you hold it in your heart, your prayers just hit the wall. They go just up to the ceiling and back. Brothers, I've had an all night, what's happening? Go talk to your brother.
Amen.
But what do we do? Amen. Nowadays, it's easy. You don't need to go. Before you're sitting there, I could be in Australia right here. Mm. Our brother teaches reading the notes. I'm reading news from Australia. And on this mobile phone here, I'm in America. On my wife's mobile phone, I'm in Zimbabwe. I'm talking to that one. I'm talking to Aunt. I'm letting John know what's happening between me and Brother George. Yeah, you think it's because it's WhatsApp, way up, one up, whatever up. You think, I didn't say anything. I just, it's exactly the same. Something against me? You know what? You win me to Christ by coming to talk to me.
Amen.
Not going to tell Brother George. Ah, Brother George, you better come with me. No, 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 no. You win me to Christ.
Amen.
By coming to me and say, Brother Teach, I think you did me wrong. I said, Brother, you'll be shocked. You think, I'm going to sing, but I think he knows. And Brother Vegas doesn't know.
Amen.
He doesn't know.
Amen.
I told him, Brother, he looked ignorant. You had preconceived ideas before you went. That's not Christianity.
Hallelujah.
That's not Christianity. You pray. You pray. Go, speak. Brother, this is the problem. I think you did this to me. And the brother will say, Brother, genuinely from the bottom of my heart, I didn't know. What love and bond becomes the two of you.
Amen.
When after you have said that, you hold hands. This one in your hand and that one up.
Amen.
What a firebrand. What a lethal weapon you become to against the devil.
Amen.
I'm sorry, my brother. I'm sorry, my brother. And you kneel down to pray. Heavens will move.
Ah,
that was not in the sermon, Pastor. That was not in the sermon. Let's move on.
Amen.
Amen. A door was opened.
Amen.
One time in the book of Acts. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
Hallelujah.
When they were pricked. Nowadays we get pricked. We soothe ourselves. The preacher didn't really mean it. That brother must have told him. He must have told him. Because his brother Will's brother. I only got to the airplane, to the airport. I was not even supposed to go to Brother Will's house. I was going to go to Brother George, wasn't it? That was the plan.
Amen.
The plan got here earlier. Why? Because God knew I needed to finish my sermon. That's why God brought the car, the plane early. That's why. Everything else, that well, it may not be to you, but to me, I believe it. So I landed early, got to my brother's house, got time to finish the sermon. Spent time in the room. We are going. I sat in the car. I said very little from home up to here because I was in my sermon. I got here, I got there. I never said to anyone, that brother must have said, the Spirit knows you, brother. You want me to call you by name?
Hallelujah. Glory.
Consider your ways. Consider your ways. There were those days of Ananias and Sapphira.
Yes.
They will return.
Amen.
And you wait until to call us. You know God does know your name. He knows the numbers of your hair when you don't know it yourself.
Amen.
You don't know it.
That's right.
And God knows you have lost two hairs today.
Amen.
Yeah, you don't need it because there's three growing. Yet you don't know. And you think you can fool around with God. He's setting before you an open door.
Hallelujah.
Rise up.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Claim your inheritance.
Amen.
Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said, repent, every one of you. Not some. Everyone. That includes me. That includes you. In the name of Jesus Christ. And be baptized in the name of, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Peter didn't stop there. That's where generation to generation I picked it from. For the promise is unto. All right, fine. You say, brother, teach. Maybe you didn't mean this generation. But we agreed you were there in Malachi 4, 5, and 6.
Amen.
Because it said you.
That's right.
So, you know, with my African name, I may never appear in a tip. I may never appear in the Bible. But everywhere you see the name you.
Amen.
Everywhere it says you.
Amen.
You are meaning me. So the promise is unto you. I don't need you to tell me. No, unto me. You. That's good enough for me. Out of me, and then after me. You know, and to you. You know the word your. And to your. Your means you and your. Because it's the same you and just an R ahead. It's the same word. You. But just added an extra R. So you are still included in you and your children. And to all them that are far off, as many as our Lord God shall call. That door remains open this morning.
Amen.
Every time you kneel, every day, every hour, God is faithful. That door remains open. It has never been shut until Jesus will return. Neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Hallelujah.
No other name. No other. I say there's only one fire exit. There's no other door. Hear me and hear me, church. Than the message of the hour.
Hallelujah.
That's the only door.
Amen.
We might look as if we are dormant, brother. Might look as if we have nothing. But you know what a volcano does? A volcano can lay dormant for years. But when it erupts, brother, it bends everything in its way. Watch this message, brother. It came by the pillar of fire. See that pillar of fire? It came down in 63. It came down. There is no record of its return. There is no record that cloud went back. It came down. You may not see it. You may not feel it. But doesn't mean it's not there. No. When you walk to work,
Amen.
When you are shouting to your wife, The pillar of fire is just watching. What's wrong with my son? Please help him. That angel of the Lord is just watching. You need to be conscious he is present.
Amen.
You need to be conscious he is present. You remember? I've forgotten that brother's name. The prophet said, don't think that. Brother, don't have those thoughts. That pillar of fire was right over his head.
Amen.
Showing him the brother's thoughts. Meaning the pillar of fire knows your thoughts.
Hallelujah.
You need to think right.
Amen.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me.
Amen.
We are closing. The Bible says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. That's what the voice is saying this morning. A door is opened before you, my brothers and my sisters. A door of healing, if you are here for healing. Some people came to the meeting for healing. Some people still come to the meeting for healing these days. I don't come to church for healing. Healing is extras. Those are extras, brother. I came for the Holy Ghost. I came for a life worth of victory. I come here for Jesus. Brother Bram says in another text, the sisters may not like this one, Pastor. We spend a lot of time. Does this tie match, you know, with my shirt? What would the people think? A lot of time, effort, and resources on that. Brother Branham says, that's fine. But that's not what you should be worried about.
Right.
You should be worrying whether does your experience match his word.
Amen.
If we spend enough time, effort, and resources on the way we look and dress to see if our experience matches the word, we will be somewhere. I told you the sisters are not lying. But a door is opened before you, my brothers. God has opened a door. Whenever a door was opened, it remains open. And when our brothers land and our brother land here to pray for the sick next week, that door is open. If you are sick or your relative is sick, to brother, you better start rejoicing. Brother, teacher, brothers. When are we going to do these things? There is no healing campaigns in heaven. You know, like I told you, I would rather go limping to heaven. Because I know. By the time I get to that gate, I may still be limping. But by the time I cross that gate, there is no limping teach in heaven. Something will happen between getting to the gate and the other side. I will be walking straight. So I'm not really bothered about limping. Because I know it's temporary. But if my soul limps, it could be permanent. I need my soul not to be limping. Because if I limp, I may limp on the way to hell. But a door is open before you, friends. Come up hither. I will show you things that shall be hereafter. As we close, I will close on this quotation here. In the same message, Philadelphia Church. Between the two ages, they got a little, so you may be the little of the brothers or the sisters here. Say, I've got very little strength. No, I'm a weak Christian. The Bible addresses you with your little strength. They got a little strength between the two denominational Nicolaitan doctrinal age. Now, when the Lutherans here had formed, went back into the Nicolaite, the great archbishop and so forth. Then along came Wesley, they formed the archbishop of Canterbury and all these different greats, all over that in the churches and so forth in that age. Then over here in Pentecostal, they go right back to the same thing again. All of their great denominations, the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. But between these two ages, he opened the door. and give the church a little strength. Why is Brother Abraham saying that? Because you know this, when he drew that church edges, the light was fading. When it reached Tyre, it was almost gone. So when it got to Philadelphia, God had to give a little strength because they were so weak. They were so, but God gave them a little. That's what he did. To revive enough till it shake its head. Look out, John, and see where it was. Get the revelation. 10. See anything knocked out, you know. And the first thing you know, begin to shake his head and look around and shake this head. Let's close on this quotation here. Now, we find out that he said, I set before you an open door. Shall we read that together as we close, as the pastor can? And I don't care how many man-made organizations comes up or denominations. Even the gates of hell can't shut it. Amen. Only one way to beat it is join it. That's all. You can't join it, so you have to be born into it.
Amen.
Right? So there is nobody could ever stop that message of the supreme deity and the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell will never prevail against this. May the good Lord richly bless you. Brother Andrew, God bless you.
Let's stand. Let's come to some worship, saints, and let the words sink in. You know, when the brother was preaching, I was so much thinking of that song. We don't sing it much, but that one, Almost Persuaded. You know, I really do believe that. So many times the Lord comes to try to persuade people. Now, you'll know there's people, like the brother was saying so well.
Hallelujah.
The prophet speaks of it as that making sure that your experience matches the Bible. There's nothing more important than that. I remember when we first got saved, we first got in the message. The saints know it. There was nothing more important to us. When we knew there's the Holy Ghost is available, and you looked in your own experience, there was nothing more important. It would be in your mind night and day saying, there's nothing more important than this. This is the door. This is the avenue to every single blessing. But you find there's a generation that rises up now and they know the truth, but it's very easy to put it off, friends. It's very easy to say, okay, you know, one day. But that song says, almost persuaded. That there's a people that can be almost persuaded, that you will know that I should do this. I should seek him with all my heart. And other things take your time. And you put other things ahead of the Lord. And one of these days, the door's going to shut. And he speaks about the foolish virgin in the Bible and how they came and they knocked and they said, and he says, I never knew you. Because there was an opportunity for them to get the oil, but they never made that their first priority. They put other things ahead of that. But yet there were other people there at the same time, and they knew the right priority spiritually. And I'd really say to our saints, as we come to a time of worship, let it really sink inside of your soul. You just ask yourself the simple question, does my spiritual experience match with the Bible? Does my spiritual experience match with what's required of me? What God has required of me in this age, and be honest with yourself. If it doesn't match, what can be more important than that? What can be more important? Can your education be more important than that door? Than making sure you've entered the door, God's provided way by His grace? Can that be more important? Surely, saints, nothing can be more important than that healing of the soul, that sealing of the soul, that making sure that you're born in His kingdom. And if you're not sure about it, friends, if you've got any doubts, why don't you ask him and let him speak to you about it. And whatever he says, you do it. And let's keep seeking on. Let's sing, Brother George, if you have a song for us. Amen. Let's sing that song.
Almost persuaded how to almost persuaded turn not away. Jesus invites you. Jesus invites you. Angels are living in paradise from heart so dear. Oh, wonder come,
almost persuaded.
Almost persuaded. Harvest is past.
Thought, friends, almost is but to fail. Now that a person comes so close. I remember Brother Tommy once speaking of the message, the man who kissed the gates of heaven and then went to hell. And he was speaking about Judas, that he came so close that he kissed Jesus, who's the gates of heaven. Or the rich young ruler who came right into his presence, right into the presence of eternal life. And Jesus loved that young man. And friends, I don't think there's anybody who's gathered here today that that's not a proof of the greatness of Jesus' love to you and I. He wouldn't gather us here. He wouldn't gather us under his word if it wasn't the greatness of his love towards us. And Jesus looked upon that young man and he loved him. And that young man knew that he didn't have eternal life. He knew he had religion. He knew a lot of things. But he knew this one thing, that he didn't have eternal life. And he said, good master, what shall I do that I shall inherit eternal life? And what did Jesus do to that young man? He went right down to the source of the problem. Because he had other gods. He had other things that he had put before the Lord. And friends, that's the greatest obstacle in the life of somebody. Coming to the fullness of what Christ has for you. You've got to make him supreme. He's got to be first. And he said to that young man, if you want eternal life, sell everything that you've got. Go and sell it all, give it to the poor. Then come and follow me and you'll have eternal life. And that young man weighed it in the balance. Here was the door that was set before him. Here was an open door into eternal life. Friends, what can be greater than eternal life? And Christ himself coming personally down to you to persuade you and say, I am the way.
Thank you, Lord.
Come through me.
Thank you.
But you've got to lay other things aside, friends. There's no room on the throne for two. There's only room for him. And that's the price. And friends, I am so glad that when I first met Jesus, I realized just how supremely important he is.
Hallelujah.
How precious he is. He's more important than anything. Though your family might turn you down. Though they may put you out of doors. Though all your friends may forsake you. Friends, my cousins, all of them. They think I went mad. But I'm so glad because I found something far greater. Something so precious that when I weighed everything else up in the balance, when I weighed up popularity and I weighed up the fortunes of that can be made in this life, I said that's all nothing in comparison to the greatness of who Christ is. And when you see him present himself to you like that, friends, all he's saying to you is, lay everything else aside. Let's finish this once and for all. Just make sure that your experience
Hallelujah.
Matches what's written inside of the word. Let's sing one more song there, Brother George, if you have it.
Come out, come in, come out. The spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this water. We'll never thirst again. Oh, the Spirit and the bride say, come,
come on,
come on. Drink of this rock, you will never thirst again. Oh, the Spirit and the bride say, come.
He got up an ear,
he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church.
Never fail.
Come and drink of this rock.
You will never thirst again.
The Spirit and the bride say, come.
Come on.
Come on. Spirit and the bride say, come.
God's voice is calling.
God's voice is calling from heaven. Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sin. The sins have raised heaven. God sees her. The Spirit and the bride say, come.
Come out.
Come out. Come in. Come out. The Spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this rock. Will never thirst again. Oh, the Spirit and the bride say, come.
Oh, the Spirit and the bride say, come.
The Spirit and the bride say, come.
Oh, come, church of God.
The Spirit and the bride say, come.
Let's bow our heads there, saints. Just ask Brother Maxwell if he wouldn't mind come to dismiss us this afternoon. But first, we'd like to just give everybody an opportunity. We can't take too long today. Unfortunately, we've got to go to another meeting today. But I just want to really put it to you, my friend. You know where you stand before Christ today. You know where you are in your spiritual life. What is your spiritual experience? If you go back and open up the scriptures, and you go and see the privileges that God has granted to us through his word.
Amen.
Where do you find yourself spiritually today? Because today the word has come once again, friends, and that word today was an open door.
Amen.
Once again it was an invitation. Once again it was the grace of God coming to invite us. It was the great cherubim from the throne coming to usher us back to the mercy seat once again. And friends, all the church has to do is respond.
Amen.
All you've got to do is just yield yourself.
Hallelujah.
The Lord's not asking you for some big something, which you can't do. But He just wants you to lay your soul upon the altar. He just wants a full surrender. He just wants a yieldedness. Many thoughts will go through your mind saying, but what about this and what about that and what about that? Don't worry about those things. Because God doesn't look at your mind, He looks at your heart. And if there's the right desire in your heart, if you want to say this afternoon before our brother comes to dismiss us, you wanted to say, Jesus, I want to give it all. You see where I am. Lord, you know the things that hold me back. But Lord, I have a little strength. And if you will help me with this little strength, Jesus, my desire, I want to give it all to you. Jesus, I want to lay it all upon the altar. Lord, I just want the fire to fall upon the sacrifice. Lord, I just want your blessing in my soul. I just want to be sealed away. I want the world to be sealed out. I want to come through that door. And the word has come today to show us the way. Because Jesus is the way. And the way leads us to the door. And friends, as our brother preached so well, the fire is about to fall. The burning of Sodom, that's the day that we're living in. And before then, the Lord is persuading His people. He's ministering an entrance to each and every one of us to say, come out and come in. And you may have come out, but the Lord's saying, now it's time to come in. If that's your desire, why don't you raise your hand before the Lord, Brother Maxwell, if you would come, brother. And may the Lord grant you grace. And I'd really say it, whatever the Lord is speaking to inside of your heart now, don't leave this place and leave it here. But whatever the Lord is speaking to you about, you go and set that thing right. You go and do what He's persuading you to do. And if you're faithful to what He's dealing with you now, He'll continue to minister the entrance to you. And He'll lead you deeper and He'll lead you further. And He'll take you to the fullness of what He has for you. And may that be our portion this day as we ask our brother to close.
Eyes upon Jesus, the full, it is wonderful faith, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.
Oh, turn your eyes.
Bless you this afternoon. Oh, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. And what's going to see again? Then your eyes. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this afternoon. We bless you, Lord. We give you the glory. Oh, Lord, what can we turn to? There is only one way. There is only one door. Oh, Father, your children this afternoon. Oh, we turn towards you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, even as the scripture says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, oh, so must Jesus Christ be lifted up. Amen. And we thank God in this our age. Amen. Oh, the word have been lifted up. Amen. The message of the hour. Yes, and Father, we thank you that there is no other way.
Amen.
Oh, Christ, you are the way.
Amen.
Christ, you are the door.
Yes, Lord.
And no one can come unto the Father. Amen. Except through you, O God.
Yes.
And even as the preacher said, oh, there is a hellfire.
Amen.
And there is only one exit.
Yes.
And that exit is you, Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, to this afternoon, Father, we want to look unto you.
Amen.
That
Hallelujah.
You are the only door.
Yes.
Father, we don't want to be like the rich young ruler.
Mm-mm.
Who came to the door but refused to enter.
Yes.
We don't want to be like Oprah, who was given the opportunity to enter, and she failed to God.
Amen.
Father, if there are anything in our lives, oh, that are hindering us,
yes, Lord,
the little sins that besets us, O God. Amen. Father, let the quickening power of God
Amen.
Quicken us to go through the provided way, O God.
Amen.
The door that has been opened unto us.
Amen.
The message of the hour, O God.
Yes,
Father, we thank you for the blessing you have blessed us this afternoon with your word.
Lord.
Father, let us go with this word, O Lord.
Amen.
And Father, all the doors that are open before us.
Yes.
That one door. Christ Jesus, the exit, the message of the hour.
Amen.
Lord, quicken our footsteps, Lord.
Yes.
Let us enter into it, O God, because there is life behind that door, O God.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for our precious brother.
Yes,
oh, for the anointing that you have brought
yes.
Oh, through him, O God, to
Amen.
Deliver this message to us.
Amen.
Oh, the church needs it, O Lord.
Yes.
Oh, we need it, O God.
Amen.
Father, there is only one door.
Amen.
Help your children, O God,
yes.
to enter into
Amen.
That door, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Father, we bless you. We give you the glory. Bless our precious brother. Bless the family, O God.
Amen.
The virtue that has gone out of him, O Lord. Oh, restore in the name of
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Father, even as we leave you, O God,
Amen.
We want to live with your name, O God.
Yes.
We want to
Amen.
Go through that door.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We want to go through that door. Lord, the door that you have opened for us.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, we bless you, Lord.
Amen.
As many that, Lord, will journey, O God,
Amen.
Grant them journey mercies.
Yes, Lord.
And even, Lord Jesus, if you tarry, Oh, Lord, our next meeting.
Yes.
Let's come through that door.
Amen.
The provided way. The provided door. But there, because there is no other way, oh God.
Amen.
We thank you this afternoon, Lord,
yes, Lord.
For blessing us.
Amen.
We thank you for the musicians.
Yes,
we thank you for the worship.
Amen.
We thank you for the Sunday school.
Amen.
We thank you for our children.
Yes,
we thank you for our wives.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we thank you for our husbands.
Yes,
and we thank you for everything that, Lord, you have provided for us.
Yes,
we bless you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. So it's really to appreciate our brother. God bless you, brother. Really do appreciate our brother. Thank you very much for the word. Wonderful saints. May the Lord continue to minister at entrance. That's the important thing. Step by step, by his grace and by his mercy. May the Lord grant a good vacation to the brother now. There's always a temptation to ask him to preach on Wednesday, but we probably won't ask him to do that because he wants a vacation. So. But may the Lord bless. And God bless everybody traveling mercies as we travel. Please keep us in prayer for this evening. And we'll meet again by the grace of God.
Amen. Every day, every hour.